But I'm sure you've heard it before, and I'll just say it again. It seems that the older you get, the faster time goes. I cannot even conceive of the fact right now that 2019 is over. A new decade is dawning this week. Something new is beginning. I read an article in Cornerstone Magazine by Mark Colchin, who's the editor of Cornerstone Magazine. If you have not subscribed to that magazine, it is free. Free. And it is just full of wonderful, edifying, God-centered articles. And he wrote an article on 2020. What do you think about when you hear the number 2020? And for those of us who are optically impaired, Christina, 2020 vision, laser focused on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ for the new coming decade. And it's a very challenging article. I recommend that everybody read it. I was just browsing around to the New Year's resolutions and all those type of things that people do, and all these false promises that last about 3 weeks, and then but it's always the same, isn't it? Top of the 10 was what? Lose weight. Lose weight. Exercise. There's a couple of good ones that I read, like time management and more time with the family. And, you know, these are from unbelievers. I thought that was pretty, encouraging to hear. I have a suggested New Year's resolution for every Christian. Eat more bread. Eat more bread. You would think the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God, Satan, and I'm not a conspiracy kind of guy, but Satan works in a certain way to try to defame or defamate the very character of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. Today, even unbelievers in multitudes, I work in surgery rooms all the time, and whoo, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is commonly used in cursings. When something goes wrong, they use his name. When they damn something, they use his name. They're not even Christians. Some of them are Jewish. And they still, they use his name in a very negative way. I think of bread. Jesus Christ called himself the bread of life. And today you would talk about bread. No way, bread, bad. Bread, horrible. Bread isn't what it was 200 years ago, never mind 2,000 years ago. Bread is horrible, by the way, in many different shapes and many different reasons, because of GMOs and all kinds of things I'd rather not go into. But biblical bread is good bread. Today we're going to look at John chapter 6. I'm going to go through three contrasts that we will find in John chapter 6. The first is true bread versus manna. The second is the bread of life versus the bread that kills. The second is life for the whole world versus the manna for Israel and Israel alone. And we're not going to go getting into a big discussion on this, because we're actually going to read the entire chapter of John chapter 6. It's very difficult to talk about the bread of life. It is very difficult to talk about the living bread and not take the entire chapter in context. So, here we go, and I know for a fact that we can do it in a little over 10 minutes, so it's not a big burden. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them, that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were sit down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received them into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered to them and said, and this is important, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus trying to tell them that there was sustaining life in him immediately. The religious, well, what do we have to do to get there? What works do we have to do? And look at what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Then said therefore unto them, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? It's some pretty nervy people. At one point, they're like, oh, this is the prophet that was to come. And they were going to take him by force and make Jesus Christ king. And I would say, prove it. What are you going to do? Show us something that we can believe you. It's the faith of man. So easily disturbed, right? So incredibly, the insatiable appetite for us to see in order to believe will always draw us further away from God and not closer. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. You see what they're doing? And then in verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Now they got it wrong. It wasn't Moses to begin with. But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Listen to these words. Moses gave you not. That's the past. This is something, first of all, you got it wrong. It wasn't Moses who gave it to you, but gave it to you. That's the past. And then he says this, but my Father gives you. You're thinking about yesterday. I'm telling you about now. God is giving you something now, and you're missing it because you can't get your eyes off yesterday. You can't get your eyes off what God was doing in a certain dispensation, and you don't want to concentrate on what he's giving you now. And he's going to tell him what that is. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. There's the contrast. Something that's very, very different. And he's going to go on to say what that is as well. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. That bread from yesterday was only for a certain people at a certain time. Now it's for the whole world. Huge difference. Verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So you know that this is not a physical teaching. Because if you eat bread, you're going to hunger. If you just drink water, you're going to thirst again. This is something beyond the physical. They're hanging on to the past. They're looking for something physical, while Jesus is trying to give them something eternal, something spiritual. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and listen, and believe not. You're looking, you've seen, you've touched the bread of life that the Father has sent, from heaven, and you still don't believe. Disbelief is a very harsh thing. I mean, I got to tell you that there's some times when I've spent time with somebody in the Word of God, and all the questions that they had, by the grace of God and his mercy, somehow God brought all those verses to remembrance. They had a question, boom, we went to the Word, found an answer. They had another question, boom, the Word had an answer. They had two more questions, boom, two more answers from the Word of God. I was in a discussion for a long time, and every single question they had, there was an answer in the Word of God for. They still walked away in disbelief. They were just, they had false motives in asking the questions. And trying to prove the Bible to be wrong, they saw that it was absolutely right. Not only right, but that it actually connected with modern day issues and problems. And it had the answers that they were looking for, but that's not what they were looking for. They weren't looking for answers. And the heart that has disbelief, look at what God says in Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart that there is no God. It's a foolish thing to not believe the absolutely believable. You look at the Word of God and you just cannot. I guess with the unbelieving mind, they can choose to do whatever they want. But the more I study the Word of God, the more I realize that this cannot come from human hands. It's impossible. Impossible. All that the Father giveth me, verse 37, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I come down from heaven to do mine own will, but the will of him, the will of him that sent me. What's the will of the one that sent him? Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but I will raise it up again on the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Amen. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They're still, Jesus is pouring out all kinds of incredible truths. They're still looking at yesterday, still thinking about the bread, looking up in the sky, waiting for a loaf of bread to fall down. They're having a serious problem focusing on what the Lord Jesus Christ is not only saying, on what the Lord Jesus Christ is offering them. The true bread. And look at verse 42. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Again, I am that bread of life. It just can't get any more clearer than that. And he's going to keep repeating this. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the whole world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my blood and drinketh, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, a lot of people get stuck on these particular verses. There are entire professing Christianity movements that have looked on this and said, this has got to be the literal blood and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would practice something called transubstantiation, where the bread and the wine, something similar to what we did here this morning, becomes the literal body and the literal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they re-sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ every single week. Now, there's a lot of theological problems with that when you look at Hebrews and you know, that he suffered once for all time, and that was it. But in this very chapter, he explains what happened. In verse 63, it says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. Listen to this. The flesh profits nothing. He is not talking about the physical, because if he were to give you the physical, that would wear off quickly and you would still die. So it's not the physical. He says this, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The truth that he was communicating was a spiritual truth that if ingested, if received, and if it's believed, it will give you eternal life. That means forever, a sustenance that will never stop sustaining you. So here the word drinketh, in verse 54, where it says, drinketh my blood, it's the word pino. And it means to imbibe. And what imbibe means is to receive on a mental and spiritual level. It is to understand, comprehend, and believe. It is to take in. Jesus says, if you take in this bread of life, if you take in the truth that I will give myself for you, you will live. If you believe that, you will have everlasting life. So many people get hung up on this verse and they never come to understanding. Why? Because like the Jewish religion back in the day, they're so busy looking at the physical that they just cannot concentrate on the spiritual. And for good reason. A lot of the things they did on the Old Testament was physical. They had oxen and bulls and fires and smells and sounds and trumpets, and everything was very physical, very audible. You ate it, you smelt it, you heard it. It was very physical. And now Jesus is saying, we gotta go beyond those things of yesterday. I am here. Everything back there spoke of me. I am here now. I'm ready. They just couldn't receive it or wouldn't receive it. And then again, Jesus Christ repeats himself about the bread again and again and again. Verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. You notice that Jesus keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again, because he wants us, he desires us, he desired them to understand, comprehend, receive, and believe. And are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And he said, disciples. Listen, just because you're a student of the word doesn't necessarily mean you're a believer. And sometimes believers are not student of the word. Jesus said, this has got to change. And listen, when sometimes you hear something in the word of God, and it'll take you for a head spin. I mean, I read some things in Deuteronomy and in the New Testament. And as a new believer, I mean, I was just, it was overwhelming some of the things that I was hearing. But a disciple who's a believer will listen and learn. And even if you don't understand at the time, you will believe that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And just because you don't understand something doesn't mean you run off. But those that some people just want to be students. They want to be students forever and never come to believe what the Word of God says. The Word of God in and of itself, just by reading it, won't save you. It's by believing the message that's in it that will save you. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came to give himself, to die for your sins. And that if you believe that he died for your sins and that he rose again on the third day, the Bible says, you shall be saved. You can hear it. You can read it. You can see it. You can even sing it. But unless you believe it, it will not help you. Unless you believe it, it just can't help you. Look at what it says in verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said, does this offend you? It can. It can offend. I mean, think about it. The Old Testament. I mean, you know, they were into purity, and they were into all kinds of things. And what they heard in their ears was cannibalism. How's he going to give us his flesh to eat? That's ungodly. How is he going to make me eat, drink blood? That to a Jew was just like unfathomable. I can't understand that. This guy is crazy. And his disciples were thinking the same thing. Some of the students were like, "Whoa, this is where our journey with him ends, right here." And they walked away. 62, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? What if I give you something physical and just shoot up to the ceiling right now? Is he telling him, would you believe that even though I said what I said? 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except that were given unto him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Talk about close but no cigar. They were walking with Jesus Christ. They were sitting under the tutelage of God manifested in the flesh. The creator of the universe was spewing out these truths. And they were sitting down and they were listening and giving him an ear. They were his audience. And they walked away from the very word of life. And he told them, if you try to find it somewhere else, you will die just like your fathers. You're looking back to yesterday, there's nothing for you there. I am. But they understood what he was saying every time he said, I am. They understood. I can't even imagine that. Theology school with Jesus Christ as the master. And you walk away. My mind is just hard to comprehend. Verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except that were given unto him by my Father. From that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, I love that he used that word first. See, none of his disciples said, Lord, we're out of here. They wouldn't even use that word. They just walked away. Peter said, Lord, Kurios, Master, God. He used that title and he did something else that shows. We give Peter a bad rap. But he was listening. Peter was listening to every word. Look at what he says. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But we believe and are sure. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the one that he was speaking about, the Son, listen, of the living God. That's an important word that he used, because that's what Jesus called the Father in verse 57, as the living Father had sent me. He called himself the living bread. He called himself the bread of life. He said, if you take me in, you will live forever. And Peter called him the Son of the living God. That's huge. Peter was listening. He's like, I'm not walking away. You crazy? No way. I'm staying right here. I mean, I can imagine Peter's look when the others are walking away. And he's like, get back over here. Jesus answered him, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake, just his compassion, his mercy, his grace. I know what the other one was going to do. But he walked with him anyway. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now let me take a sip of water. Jesus used the term in verse 32, true bread. The contrast to true bread was the manna. And we saw that in verse 32. We saw it in verses 48 through 51, where once again he compared himself to the manna. He said, me, life forever. Manna, back then, dead. Doesn't get any harder than that. And he mentions it once again in verse 58. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Doesn't get hard. Jesus never was so theological that you had to be philosophical in order to understand the theology. He never did that. He spoke in very clear terms and words that you would understand. Now, being a clear-cut speaker sometimes comes with the chance of being offensive. Because there was very limited time with Christ here on earth. He didn't have time to open up a 5-year, theological PhD degree. He needed to get this information out to these people. Now, either you believed or you didn't. He called himself true bread. Manna was a very important word. Manna was a very important concept. Because the manna, if you looked at Exodus chapter 16, and if you ever read Exodus chapter 16, you can read verses 12 through 20, and it talks about the manna. Manna was very interesting because they were complaining. And God says, I'm gonna provide for you, the grace and the mercy of God. I'm going to provide for you. He gave them quail for meat, but there was something else. The dew itself turned into frost. It said it turned into some hoary circle things, and it was sweet, and they crushed it, and they made bread with it, and all kind of things. The only thing, you better not keep it overnight. Take what you're going to eat now, because you can't keep it overnight. Did they listen to Moses? Of course not. So they started hoarding some of this stuff. And at the night, it grew worms and it stank. And it just stank. It wasn't intended to be forever. Now, some people might disagree with me, and I get it. But as I study this time and time again, I keep coming to the same conclusion that manna was a type of the law. That manna was a type of the law. And I know this because in Joshua chapter 5 verse 12, when they finally reached the promised land, which God called Gilgal, it was Canaan. Once they started eating from that land, what happened to the manna? It stopped coming. Once they received the promise of God, all those things of the past were gone. The true bread is here. Oh, but they kept looking for that physical. They kept looking for that thing that was supposed to end. Can you imagine? After one day, it grew worms and it stank. There's still 2,000, 6,000, 7,000, whatever it is. Years later, they're still talking about the manna, still hoarding it in their heart. Can you imagine how that stinks to God? I don't want the true bread. I want something like they did back then. They're still hoarding that in their heart. Let me tell you something. If manna is the law, it is clear from Romans chapter 3, verse 20, that by the law shall no man be justified in his sight. No man. Because from the law comes the knowledge of what? Sin. Can you imagine trying to get to God with the manna? He stopped in Joshua chapter 5. Can't. You need to come to God through the true bread of life, and that is Jesus Christ. That's the first contrast. I'd like to spend more time there, but we just don't have it. Then he called himself the bread of life, again and again and again. Verse 35, verse 48, verse 51, verse 27. He started with this: stop laboring for the meat that what? Perishes. That's exactly what the manna was. There was only one time when that manna were to last a couple of days. And that's when they had to gather it before the Sabbath. Because in the Sabbath, you weren't supposed to do anything. And so there was grace there, right? God allowed that bread to last for a little while longer. Here, the bread never perishes. It is very different. It is not the bread of death. They said your forefathers ate that manna. Where are they now? They're dead. That was the physical. The physical will never give you spiritual ends. And the manna, if it was a type of the law, there were hundreds of laws. Hundreds of laws. But it wouldn't give them 1 ounce of righteousness. They could never get to God by those laws. Those laws would show them that they would fail time and time and time and time again. Not with Jesus. Because you see, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it is no longer up to me. I go to God through his righteousness and not my own. I don't labor to get into the kingdom of God. He did all the work I could ever possibly need on the cross at Calvary. And to give God anything else except that stinks. Like that manna that they tried to hoard. And it's not just the Jews. Many religions, all religions, I don't care what religion it is, they're always trying to earn an ounce of time in eternity, and they will fail and fail and fail again, because to come to God by any other means is an offense to God that stinks, because he sent his son to die. Think about the ramifications of what somebody is doing when they want to earn their way into heaven. God, I understand you gave your son Jesus Christ to die, but I got a better idea. I don't have to believe in that. I'm going to get into heaven on my own. I can earn my way into heaven by my own righteousness. Then if God killed his son and he didn't need to and he did it for nothing, then that would make God a what? A murderer and a liar. So do you see what religion does when presented? It throws the cross of Christ at the face of God and says, I don't need it. Now, most religious people wouldn't exactly put it in those words. But because you don't put it in those words doesn't mean that that's exactly what you're doing. They're looking for moral goodness. I know I have none. They're giving God their heart. I know mine's is deceitful. They're trying to earn their own righteousness. I know I can't give anything to God except my sin. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who was always righteous, who never sinned, and I go on his ticket into heaven, not my own. And when I come to God with the cross of Christ, with the true bread of life, with the bread of life, he is pleased, and I'm in because of what he did. Not because of what I could do. So you see, this is very important teaching here. And his disciples walked away from this teaching. Why? Because they were too busy nibbling on the manna. They were too busy taking small bites of something that doesn't exist anymore. And I'm telling you, as Christians, in the years to come, in the new decade that's before us, we need to stop nibbling on the person of Christ and start eating more bread. Eat more bread. Take more of Christ in. Listen, I don't care if it's marriage problems that you have. Eat more bread. I don't care if you seem lost and confused at times. The cure? Eat more bread. Sometimes you might get depressed and things are just crashing down in your life. What do? You eat more bread. And his name is Jesus Christ. That is the sustenance that we will need. It is a sustenance that will never fail. It is a bread that gives life. And his name is Jesus Christ. Eat more bread. The other contrast that we saw, the manna was for who? It's for the Israelites. It was for a particular time, for particular people, in a particular place, for a temporary moment in time, in history. That was it. It was very limited. It only had a limited amount. It came from heaven. It came from God. But it wasn't intended to be eternal. It would work for a while. It got them through. It got them into the promised land. And after that, it ceased. Now, the bread of life is different. Altogether different. First of all, it's not for particular people. We saw in verses 33 and 51 that it was for the whole world. Look at verse 33. For the bread of God. Same thing, right? Coming from heaven, coming from Father, coming down from heaven. For the bread of God is he, not a what. You want to know what's funny too? The word manna means whatist. If you were to translate it, it just means what the. You know the term that we have, what the. That's what manna means. What the. Here, it's not a what the. It's a he. It's a he. And his name is Jesus. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and does what? Giveth life unto the world. The offer is for everyone. But not everyone's going to take it. That's the human responsibility of it. God gives it. God offers it. The resources available even to this very day. Listen, if there's someone here that hasn't taken a chunk of the bread of life, I challenge you. At one point or another, you got to know that there's something bigger in life than life itself. And that's the life that comes after this one. Eternal life. This is a cheap imitation. This is a sin-cursed history. We're getting through here. And to get through any journey that you take, you need food. Why would you want to take a long journey and then reach into your knapsack to find out that your knapsack is empty? You ran out of food. But the food that God is offering you lasts forever. It never ends. You can get through the journey of this life by doing what? Eating more bread. That's how you get through it. And his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. We also see in verse 51 of chapter 6. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man, not a particular people, at a particular time, any man, ladies, that means women too, any man, eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Those are beautiful words, incredible promises to everyone. And the bread that I will give, not I might, not that maybe if the terms are right, if I'm feeling up to it, I will give is my flesh. And he did on the cross at Calvary, which I will give for the life of what? The world. The world. Verse 47 has got to be one of the most powerful verses for me in the entire Bible. It is clear. It is clean. It is direct. You can't theologically mistake this one. You can't try to fumble through it. You can't add or take away. It's as simple as it gets. Jesus says, verily, verily, when he uses those two words, he is getting your attention. Listen to what I am telling you right now. I say unto you, he or her that believeth on me hath everlasting life. How clear does it get? Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you die today, you do not have everlasting life. That your time ran out, and that's all that there is. And if you lived a wonderful life, praise the Lord, good news for you. But then you have to face eternity. And there's either eternal life or eternal death. There is no in between. You're either going to live forever with him or live eternally in hell without him. But there is no in between. And I'm not going to say I wish I had better news for you, because I don't. The good news is the good news of the gospel, that you don't have to take the wrong route. He's offering himself to you. He's saying, I am the bread of life. I give myself to you. Take it. Eat of me, and I will give you everlasting life. Believe in the Lord Jesus and live. But it's the gift that keeps on giving. I can eat more bread and more bread until I leave this world and finally meet the true bread of life face to face. I got hope. You know how I know that? John chapter 6 spells it out for me too. Four times he says, I will raise it up. I will raise him up on the last day. I will raise him up on the last day. I will raise him up on the last day. I cannot tell you how many people discuss this verse on an end times discussion and eschatology. And look, eschatology is good stuff. But none of that is here. This is an evangelical chapter. The good news is that Jesus Christ will raise up all who see him, all who are called by the Father, all who believe in him on the last day. All who take in his flesh and take in his blood, he will raise up on the last day. That's who that promise is for. Listen, is it post-trib, pre-trib, maybe-trib, pan-trib? Who cares? I am going to be lifted up on the last day. He's taking me. I'm going home. That is a ticket that is non-negotiable. I am going with Jesus Christ. Why? He paid the price. He paid the price. Not because I'm a good person. He's a great God. He is the bread of life. So my suggestion to you in this year 2020 and beyond, as long as the Lord would have you in this world before he takes you up on that last day, eat more bread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look unto thee, O Lord, and we thank you so much for your Son, the true bread of life, the living bread. We thank you that we can have this eternal sustenance on a daily basis. I can take part of the true bread of life. Lord, I don't deserve it. You're kind, you're good, you're merciful, and your Son is eternal, always giving. He used the word give in this chapter so many times, I lost count. He's a giving God. Thank you, Jesus Christ, O bread of life. And I pray that there's someone here this morning that's thinking about what I just said, that's wondering about their future, that might be even thinking, will they be raised up on the last day? Without you, Lord, that's impossible. But with you, it's incredibly possible. It is absolute. We pray, Lord Jesus, if there's someone here this afternoon that has not made a decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that bread of life, that they will take a taste of that bread today and that they would be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.